The goal of investigating Chan meditation is to develop wisdom and to seek liberation. We must concentrate our minds and investigate the question, who is mindful of the Buddha? When we can investigate this question to the ultimate point, we forget all idle thoughts. We forget about eating, sleeping, and dressing, to the point of forgetting to go to the bathroom. At this stage, the wind may blow, but it won't touch us. The rain may fall, but it won't get us wet. We are intensely and unceasingly asking the question, who? This single thought is like Vajra. It is so durable and solid that nothing can break it up. We are not aware of the heavens above, the earth below, or the people in between. Our state is free of the traces of self, others, living beings, and living beings' lifespans. Then, we reach the point of there being no body or mind inside, and no world outside. We have united in substance with the entire universe and have become one with all things. In ancient times, there were lofty Sangha members of great virtue whose cultivation reached a level where not even a single thought arises. A saying captures that state. They eat all day long, yet don't know they have consumed a single morsel. They get dressed each day, but aren't aware of having put on a single thread. They arrived at a state of no self and no others. Where was there any time left for them to indulge in idle thinking? They felt that if they wasted even a moment of time, they could miss their chance to become enlightened. For this reason, we must give our very lives in the investigation of who is mindful of the Buddha. We should never rest until we find out who it is. Finding out who is the very best method for controlling our idle thoughts. In China's Yangzhou County, at Gaomin Monastery, there lived an elder monk named Miao Du, who cultivated Chan meditation to the point that when walking, he wasn't aware of walking. When sitting, he wasn't aware of sitting. When standing, he wasn't aware of standing. When reclining, he wasn't aware of reclining. He thought of nothing at all except, who is mindful of the Buddha? One day he needed to relieve himself. Since he was unceasingly investigating the question of who, he walked by mistake into the Hall of the Heavenly Kings and assumed that the seat in front of Waito Bodhisattva was the toilet. Just as he was about to relieve himself, he looked up and saw the image of Waito Bodhisattva glaring at him with his jeweled pestle raised up high, and it scared him awake. Aware that he had made a mistake, he quickly bowed to Waito Bodhisattva to repent and seek forgiveness from the Bodhisattva. How could this have happened? It was because Chan Master Miao Du concentrated his mind and devoted his entire attention to investigating the word who. This was his sole concern, and as a result, he mistook the Hall of the Heavenly Kings for the bathroom. Someone may think, I should imitate Chan Master Miao Du and not go to the bathroom to relieve myself, but instead go in front of Guanyin's altar. If you do that intentionally, you would be 108,000 miles away from the way. You should know that Chan Master Miao Du was not imitating anyone else. Rather, he was single-mindedly contemplating who is mindful of the Buddha. Since his attention was devoted entirely to this question, he made such an error. If you, on the other hand, set out deliberately to make that error, you are making a grave mistake. You shouldn't even think about doing such a thing. It's said that being off by a hair's breadth at the start will lead you astray by 1,000 miles in the end. Some people are sitting in the meditation hall having idle thoughts such as, how come the bell still hasn't rung? When it rings, I'm going to stretch out my legs and rest my back. Or they may wonder, "Isn't it lunchtime yet? I'm hungry as can be." Someone may even be counting the remaining time. 12 days have gone by, and we have 9 more days to go until the merit and virtue is complete. I hope the time will pass quickly so we can get this suffering over with. When people join a Chan session, they ought to wish that the time would last to give them more of a chance to get enlightened. Another person as he sits looks like someone sitting on a pincushion. He can't be still for a minute, but either changes his legs around or stretches them out to rest his back. Other people may be entering samadhi, but this one is thinking up a storm. His idle thoughts are several layers thick. If one carries on like this, what is the point of joining a Chan session in the first place? Why maintain this pretense? It would be better to simply not come in the first place. One would have saved oneself a lot of trouble that way. Know, however, that we should hang the question of birth and death right between our eyebrows, so that when our eyes are open, we are looking directly at it. And even with our eyes closed, we cannot forget this question. We must work and cultivate in each consecutive thought. Only then can we end birth and death. You, on the other hand, are not thinking about birth and death in each consecutive thought as you sit in the Chan hall. You are constantly indulging in idle thinking. You fear only that if your idle thoughts are too few, you'll take a loss. How pathetic! People who know how to apply themselves don't indulge in idle thoughts for even an instant. It's said that, until we actually understand the great matter, we should be as if attending to the funeral of our parents. Before we have resolved the important matter of birth and death, we should be as sorrowful as if our parents had died. In the meditation hall, we cannot let the slightest fraction of time slip by. We cannot let up for an instant. We must work hard at our cultivation at all times. When we apply effort intensely, there will naturally be a response. When there is a response, our skill will touch the way. Even if you are already enlightened, you must continue to persevere and advance. Don't be lazy. Don't get trapped at Transformation City and stop making progress. Such ideas are the stumbling blocks in cultivation. If we know clearly that idle thoughts cannot be realized, why do we still indulge in them? If we know very well that they are merely idle thoughts, why don't we simply clean them up? Most people have this problem of knowing something is wrong but going ahead and doing it anyway. The truth is that we still can't see through things or put them down. We are attached to this and that, attached to men and women, and as a result, we waste a lot of precious time. The time spent in the meditation session is most valuable. It is a rare opportunity that is hard to meet. During this retreat, I urge you to throw your idle thoughts out past cloud 9. Give your mind a chance to be clean and pure. Concentrate on asking, "Who is mindful of the Buddha without interruption?" All of you should work hard and investigate. Investigate! Investigate!